Juz Amma, or even like the seminar is called Tafsir Juz Amma, and this is the beginning of this surah, Amma Yatasa'alun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with Amma Yatasa'alun. But what are they asking? And what is the issue? What is the affair that's calling their attention? And so this is the resurrection, the repayment, the gathering, the overwhelming day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about from what they're asking about. Something that the mushrikeen denied so often. This surah also goes on to speak about some of the examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power to do whatever He wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the same Lord that can do these things which we see and we admit, that same Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to resurrect the human beings and bring them back and take them to account for what they did in this dunya. The surah talks about Yawm al-Fasl, which is also another name for the Day of Judgment, and we'll get to it inshaAllah. And that's the day when every human will walk with their like and will be brought divided. Fasl, like a classroom, like we mentioned, and that the good will be with the good and the bad will be with the bad. The surah also talks about, apologize for going a little quickly here, but it also talks about the transgressive, ungrateful people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to, or versus, the righteous and pious believers of Allah azza wa jalla, the people of paradise. And so hope and fear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us both of those things in the surah. And you'll see in the surah the intensity of the punishment. Almost when we begin reading ayat that speak about punishment like that, a person shouldn't lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the reality of the punishment. And there's nothing to change it. However, the person has hope. And you'll see the ayat then speaking about the believer. And so it's for a person to decide which path they want. And then the surah concludes with the person's aqidah in resurrection. That a person will be resurrected and taken to their account, are taken to account for their deeds.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عم يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون ألم نجعل الأرض مهادا والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم سباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا.
Okay, from the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, amma is two words. An means about, ma is the question mark about what. And so they're put together and it comes out as amma yatasa'alun. And this question is actually to show the intensity of the affair and the issue that they're asking about. Because it's not a simple matter. It's the biggest news that will ever happen to human being. If you notice in September 11th, that it was news all over the world. So no one would, for example, come out with a newspaper the next day and talk about, you know, oh, in local news, this happened. Every newspaper would be talking about that. And that's something of the dunya. This is the biggest news to ever, another al-azim. The greatest news to ever come. The great news. Another al-azim. And so that all of those things are similar, and they're mentioned in the books of tafsir, such as the resurrection, the Qur'an, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an-naba al-azim, this enormous news of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, the resurrection, all of it, all that is encompassed in that. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Mecca, a little background of the surah, you may have read it in the book, and he came with the Qur'an and telling them about the belief in Allah, and then the repayment for their deeds, good and bad, they started asking amongst themselves, is what Muhammad saying true? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is what he is saying true? And this questioning of each other happened. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited or revealed this verse, عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ. Almost like it's even above asking about it. It's the enormous affair of Tawheed. عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ, which they are differing upon. And this is something that they were differing in Mecca. Some saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a magician, others saying this and that. And they continue to argue with it. But this is the biggest news to ever happen. And it's above people sitting and just arguing, is this true or not? It is النَّبَى الْعَظِيمِ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا, that there's no disagreement in it. Nay, never, سَيَعْلَمُونَ, they will come to know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ, that indeed, that ثُمَّ كَلَّا, after that, never, that issue, سَيَعْلَمُونَ, they will know the truth. And it's almost as if it's coming as a warning to those people. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ, that stop and turn back from your actions now before the reality hits you. And you see it for real. And then other verse in Surah At-Takathur, we saw something similar to that. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. And there's actually two parts to it. They say, سَيَعْلَمُونَ, they'll come to know the reality of the... These are the two trumpets blowing. This is like the punishment before the grave, punishment in the graves before the actual resurrection happens. The apocalypse, سَيَعْلَمُونَ, they will come to know this. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ, they will see the resurrection of the hereafter. So their resurrection actually, if Al-Qiyamah al-Sughra, you might see books with that title, the minor resurrection begins when a person dies. That realization comes immediately when they're dead. When that moment they said that Fulan mat, the realities hit them. And they know the truth of the incorrectness of their way. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ, in that when they're resurrected, they will know again the incorrectness of the path that they took. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing them their power. And even such as this, from this ayat 6, all the way to 16, a person could basically make a PowerPoint slideshow just on these verses. Because these are things that everybody sees and will admit to. And like we said, there's a Discovery Channel, somebody, you'll see all these things on their program. And people are like, oh wow, that's so amazing. But they don't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take us beyond just recognizing this into the realm of actually submitting to the Creator of all this and realizing that if He can do this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He indeed has the ability to resurrect the human and do whatever He wishes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. الأرض, the earth, مِهَادًا is the bed, وَالْجِبَالِ and the mountains, أَوْتَادًا as pegs, وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ and we created you, أَزْوَاجًا in pairs, وَجَعَلْنَا and we made نَوْمَكُمْ your sleep, سُبَاتًا a thing of rest, وَجَعَلْنَا and we made اللَّيْل the night, لِبَاسًا a covering with its darkness, وَجَعَلْنَا and we made النَّهَار the day, مَعَاشَ as the means of livelihood, مَعَاشَ livelihood, وَبَنَيْنَا and we built فَوْقَكُمْ above you, سَبْعًا means seven, شِدَادَ strong ones, the heavens, وَجَعَلْنَا and we made سِرَاجًا وَحَاجَ which is the sun, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in two ways, having light and giving light. Having light and giving light. سِرَاجًا وَحَاجَ. وَأَنْزَلْنَا and we sent down مِنَ الْمُعَصِّرَاتِ. The مُعَصِّرَاتِ are the raining clouds. مَاءً is water. فَجَّاجَ is abundant, in abundance. لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ نُخْرِج means to make come out. حَبًّا حَبًّا is that corn. وَنَبَاتَ and vegetation. وَجَنَّاتٍ and gardens. الْفَافَ is of thick growth. It's not testification, it's a call for the person to contemplate these things. The mountains as pegs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this, and these are things, when we're talking about Quran and science and so on, verses like this, many people have like looked into it. The mountain as pegs, if you see, for example, I think many of you have seen that picture of the iceberg, and it shows the tip of the iceberg, and then underneath the water it shows the bottom portion, the enormous part of the iceberg. The mountains are similar in creation to those icebergs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as pegs, a peg, when you hit it through the ground, it sticks deep into the ground so that it can stand firm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the mountains in such a way. In verse 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And Allah azza wa jal created you in pairs, male and female, tall and short, good and bad. Azwaj means in pairs. And so in fact, all from, you know, one father, Adam alayhi salam, this shows the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create whatever He wishes, Azza wa Jal. And we notice in one of the surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ahad, is one, and Allah Azza wa Jal is witr, is odd or unique. And there's nothing else in this world that is unique like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can say about any creation that there's nothing like it. Even if they, for example, have a fancy car, and they'll say, oh, it's a unique car, it's only one of its kind. There's other cars that can, you know, have wheels and drive in the same body. Nothing's unique in this earth, and there's nothing unique except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, a thing of rest. And they mentioned that if a person wasn't or was denied food and denied sleep, of the two things that he'll die more quickly from the lack of sleep than they'll die from the lack of food. They can go for a longer period of time without food, but if you deny someone from sleep, they can only go a certain time before their body shuts down and they die because of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it as a rest for the people. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the night and the rest, every day the people, they take, they're given a lesson in how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects from the dead, resurrects them and gives them life. When a person wakes up in the morning and the alarm goes off, they go, oh, the alarm woke me up. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives the person the ability, as if their soul is breathed back into them, that they can come back and continue in their lives. And that's just an example that the same way that they didn't have control over their body, as if they were dead, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly in their graves can resurrect them in the same way, as if they're being woken up. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would sleep and then wake up, he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. That all praises to Allah who gave us life or brought us back to life after He gave us death. Wa ilayhi nushur, and to Him is the resurrection and the gathering. Also about the mornings, the Prophet ﷺ actually prayed for the barakah of the mornings for the Muslims. Meaning that we're asking that, O Allah, give barakah to my ummah in their mornings. So that a person works, you know, if you're studying for exam, a lot of us do like late nighters, you might have a good chance of getting into this dua if you study in the morning time. You know, because the Prophet ﷺ prayed for those mornings for the believers, and you might find yourself able to do more things in the morning than if you were trying to do a late night something. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about in verse 12, the Sab'an Shidada, the strong heavens. And it's almost drawing a person's attention to how small their creation is in comparison to the heavens. And like we said, the light from the stars traveling for millions of miles, of light years. And not just our kind of, not driving in a car light years, but the light years traveling through space. Sab'an Shidada. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ, that indeed the creation of the heavens and the earth is bigger than the creation of the humans. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most of the people do not know this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا, and this is where the brother gets his name from, right? سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا. Siraj wahaj is the sun. Siraj is something that has light coming from it. Wahaj is something that has light therein. And some of the translation, it shows that shining lamp. And they said that like the light from the moon is not light that comes from the moon, but it's light reflecting from the sun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sun as having light itself and giving light to others. Wahaj. And you won't see that in the translation. I think in other English translations, you might see that. Jannat al-Fafa, moving along, verse 17. Allah Azza wa Jal, after taking the person to this realization, and even during that time, everybody's just, you know, nodding. They know this this world of discovery and the reality of all these things. And the same Lord is then turning the person's attention that إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. Miqat is a set specific time. Like you say in Hajj, right? The person comes to the miqat. That's like a place. It's either a time or place where something changes. So here miqat is a fixed time, a fixed station. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ, that indeed, and that's the name of the day of judgment, يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ, the day of decision, and basically when people will be divided. The good with the good, the bad with the bad. كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. This day is a set specific time. And so it's not that certain actions will delay the day of judgment, or other actions will make it come sooner. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a set fixed time for the Day of Judgment, and nothing can change that time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ, on the day when the trumpet will be blown. يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. The fa, like we mentioned before, is talking about, or gives the meaning of something happening immediately after that. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. So when the trumpet, فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا, that you will come in waves. Humanity coming in waves. And the fa means, because sometimes when a person's awoken, for example, they're sleeping, and you say, wake up, they get up lazily, correct? So say, give me another 5 minutes, give me another 10 minutes. And sometimes they have to get kicked, or they rip the blanket off them. These people are in their graves, either in their punishment or their reward. When the trumpet is blown, there's no sitting back. It happens immediately that everybody comes in these oceans of people. And that just gives you a glimpse of the horror of that day. فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءِ, the heavens will be opened. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا, that it becomes like gates. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ, and the mountains shall be moved away and they'll be wiped out. فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا, and they will be as if they were a mirage. Like we mentioned about the mountains, it's not that they're crumbling, but they'll be blown away and knocked down and destroyed. And so the thing that they can do that to the mountains, what then of the human being, that frail human, on the Day of Judgment? And these people, they went through life in indifference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indifference and not caring about these issues. And many people, you know, you talk to them about Allah and the hereafter, they want to just forget about it. Just pretend like it's not there. And here you'll see the next verse, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كانت مرصادة, that hellfire is a place of ambush. And it's almost, and remember when I said that it's almost like a beast, the hellfire. It attacks them. It's not that they're pushed into the hellfire, they see hellfire come. It attacks them. And it's, as the ulama said, it's like, it's almost befitting, because they walk through life indifferent and just phased out from the reality that when the punishment comes, it's almost as if they're shocked and they're being ambushed. As if they're coming down a river, the river of life, letting them pass them by, and then the waterfall takes them, and they begin the descent into the waterfall, and the punishment, and the horror to come after them. And I think even when someone, and a Muslim shouldn't do this, but if someone comes, like suppose Brother Fahd or maybe one just was hiding behind the door, and when you walked in, they went boo, right? Even if it's just simple, right, or someone just touches you, your heart leaps. And you feel a fright, even in that moment. And there's nothing to fear, but still you feel that fear from that ambush. And that's just a tiny thing. But here, this is hellfire ambushing them and attacking them. And you can imagine the hellfire. And I think even in like in horror, in theme parks or something like that, when there's a horror thing, they'll always have these kind of elements in the horror. The ambush, the shock of something. This is Nari Jahannam. This is hellfire that's going to ambush them. That not only the ambush by itself is the fear and horror, and this is after that the horror of hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. طَاغِينَ, also about the tyrants, the tyranny, the transgression, the ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. مَآب is a place to come back. A place to come back. And it's almost as if that they were in this dunya on a journey. And indeed they are. And everybody's on a journey. And this is the place that they're coming back to at the end of the day. After they've gone out, lived their lives. The طاغين مآبا, that hellfire is the place that they come back to. لابثين, in verse 23. لابثين meaning abiding therein. Fiha ahqaba. Ahqab means generation, and it's undisclosed span of time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying ahqaba, generation after generation. I think a lot of people, when they talk about infinity, if you say infinity, it doesn't really mean something to people. But imagine that this person, like our whole lives, or someone who's senior, maybe they're in their 60s, 70s, that whole time, imagine someone else being punished for that span of time. A generation, maybe those people will all be dead, and then a new generation comes upon the earth. That's like an ahqab. So it's a generation. That whole generation they'll be punished in hellfire. A new ahqab comes in, another generation of punishment. Another ahqab comes in, and another generation of punishment. Generation after generations after generations of punishment with no end. And this is the punishment of hellfire. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. That they do not taste in it any coolness. So the coolness, I think some people want air conditioner in here, right? And when you don't have an air conditioner, you say, Alhamdulillah that I've had, and I understand what an air conditioner is. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a lesson in itself. This gives us a chance to have a little feeling of how they studied in Mecca, right? Or how they study, and actually they study till today. They have more air conditioners now, but you get the feeling of like real studying, inshallah. The coolness will never be felt by them ever again. Bardan will never be felt by them, and they will never have their thirst quenched ever again after that. There will never be. So those two things are also generations after generations of punishment. They will never, again, after they're dead, taste any water. They will never again feel any coolness. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. And these are also, حَمِيم is the, like we said about عَيْنٍ آنِيَةٍ, حَمِيم is similar in that it's that boiling water. And so it will be a punishment in itself. وَغَسَّاقٍ, غَسَّاق is the, as they mentioned, the juice, if you can say juice, but the juice of the flesh and the vomit and the pus that comes from the punishment. All of that, those fluids will be their ghassaq. That is what they'll be eating from. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. So that blood and that pus and that vomit, all the punishment of a person being destroyed, that's what they'll be drinking from. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. An exact recompense, an exact payback. And that shows you how evil and wretched the lives that they lived were. Because many people, when they contemplate the lives of the kuffar, and they think, oh, it's not a big deal, the lives that they're living. But indeed, it is a big deal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you see the punishment, this punishment is exact compensation for their ungratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gives you a glimpse of the wretchedness of the lives that they're living. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. Why are they in this end? Because they never hoped for حِسَاب. They had no hope of the reckoning. حِسَاب is the reckoning. وَكَذَّبُوا. And the shadda on the كَذَّبُوا shows that they kept denying again and again and again and disbelieving. That every time they were reminded, they just said, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And they went through life doing takdeeb. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. That they disbelieved in it, كِذَّابًا, again and again and again. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ, verse 29. And everything, أَحْصَيْنَاهُمْ. That we counted it and recorded it, Kitaba, it was all written. Everything that they did in their lives, فَذُوقُوا, so taste it. Taste this punishment of hellfire, فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Some of the early scholars in verse 30, they mentioned that there's no verse in the Quran more sterner and more harsher on the kuffar than this verse, verse 30. Because every time they ask for the punishment to be lightened, their punishment will increase. The fact that they ask for the lightening of the punishment will increase their punishment. فَذُوقُوا, so taste it. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ, will not increase you in anything. إِلَّا عَذَابًا, except punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And now I enter the verses speaking about paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. الْمُتَّقِينَ, we talked about that earlier, about the taqwa. And taqwa is to a lot of times there's a difference of opinion about what the translation should be, but as the ulama in the past define taqwa, they would say ittiqa means to protect oneself from something. And so they say to protect oneself from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect oneself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do they protect themselves? By doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do and commands them to do, and by desisting and abstaining from that which Allah forbids them, from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids them and doesn't want them to do. And that is taqwa. If you'll see in the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, and the way they had it in the past is when they were deciding the issue, they would bring a sheep, and both would slaughter a sheep, and the one that was accepted by Allah, a fire would come down and burn it. And that was a sign that it was accepted. So when his sheep was burnt, and his brother said, قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, he said, I'm going to kill you. He said, the reality of it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed accepts from those people who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and were sincere to Allah in their actions. And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Mafaz coming from foes, success. And this is the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about. In the next verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the physical pleasures of paradise, and at the same time, the spiritual pleasures. Because not only, like we mentioned, that not only is it an outward physical pleasure, but it could be something on the inside, for example, a virus or a sickness or some sort of shortcoming in the human being that doesn't allow them to enjoy that pleasure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us from the out and from the in, this will be the complete happiness for the person in Jannatul Firdaus, or in Jannah. In verse 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ, a reward from your Lord, عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. عَطَاء is like a gift. حِسَابًا, the word حِساب, it's almost as if, or when a person, if you know the hadith where the companion was reciting to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَسْبُكَ, like enough. If a person says like hasbi, like that, enough for me, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying ata'an, that the gift will keep coming to the person, more and more gift and more gift and more bounty and more pleasure and more reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the person says hasbi hasbi, that it's enough for me, it's enough for me. That it's ata'an hisaba, that the person will not wish for anything more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Because, and it's only Allah Azza wa Jalla, because in the dunya, the human, no matter what he has, he always wants more. He has a mountain of gold, he wants two mountains of gold. And in this society, if you there is like surveys, if what would be that figure of money that if you have it, you would be ultimately happy, you know, ultimate happiness. And it's always $1 million. Everybody's always looking, I want $1 million. And they actually had another survey, it's in USA Today. They said, if you could buy paradise, how much would you pay for it? What do you think the average price was? It was about $565. $565,000 for Jannah. And some people's houses are more expensive than that. That shows you their attachment to the dunya. This ata in paradise is not like that. Meaning that it's not that the person will be in paradise and then they're like, oh, I'm bored now. The boredom never happens to the people of paradise. It's ata'an hisaba. And this is actually a very beautiful moment for me preparing the class, because I thought to myself, at this verse, I said ata'an hisaba. And I thought to myself, who is promising this? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like we saw in the camels, and we saw the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then He speaks about the punishment. The same Lord that can do that promises this. And then the paradise, it's almost as if it's too good to be true. Right? You might get like in the mail, you've won $1 million. You know immediately that it's too good to be true. Right? Of course you'd be happy if you won that money, 10 million or so on. But you know that this isn't life. But who's promising this reward? It's the Lord of the heavens and the earth. And I actually came to that conclusion myself. I said, this is the Lord of the heavens and the earth that's promising them. And read the next verse. Afa and Hisaba verse 37. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbis samawati wal ard. And then when I read that, and actually I had come to that conclusion before reading this verse. And then I went on to the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rabbis samawati wal ard. So that was like a moment of whoa right here. And inshaAllah, when a person gets more into the Qur'an, I think those themes, you'll start picking up on that. And you'll start living those ayat, and you'll understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are verses of the Qur'an where Umar radiallahu anhu would be writing the revelation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the creation. So he's writing it down, but he's not just described, he's contemplating the verses that are being revealed. And he came to the end of this verse, and he said, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. And the Prophet tabarakallah, like, blessed is Allah, the best of creators. Umar radiallahu anhu said this in conclusion of the verse, and the Prophet said, write it because it was revealed like that. Meaning he had come, and that was how close and connected they were to these verses. And you'll see, even when the Prophet died, and when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الرَّسُولِ, you'll hear read in the narrations, they said, it's almost as if that was the first time we heard it. But in many of our communities, it is the first time that they heard it. But they knew these ayat, in and out. They had learned it. And they had made it part of their lives. And they knew it very well. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In verse 38, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى. And this is now talking about the resurrection. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ. الرُّوح is Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّى. And now here is the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمُ. To who is the sovereignty on this day? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارُ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying that the angel Jibreel, and like we said in those verses that talked about Jibreel, that all the angels listen to him. He's the archangel, and these are the angels standing up, malaikatu safa, lines after lines. In Surah Al-Fajr it says, safan safa, that they come in, line after line after line. La yatakallamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the angels. La yatakallamuna. إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. These are the angels. Not an angel speaks out of turn. And if that's the angels who have not committed any sin, then the human beings on top of that, nobody talks. Except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants permission to speak. إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. And they say what is correct. There's no falsehood on this day to be said. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That's the day of truth. And even almost when you recite that verse, it's almost like if there's a judge and he slams down with the hammer, that this is stopped and the truth is coming. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. And the shadda, this is the day of the truth. And how many people have distracted us from this day of truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. And so now the choice is to the people. فَمَنْ شَاءَ, whoever wishes to take a path back to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. In verse 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. And it's not any human being that's warning, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that indeed we're warning you. أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ, we're warning you, عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا, a punishment to come very soon. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ. In fact, a shiver should go through a person when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I'm warning you. إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا, a punishment to come very soon. يَوْمَ يَنظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The day when a human will see what his hands, his own hands, have brought forth, what he did himself. يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ. And the kafir says, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. It's mentioned, and the kafir says that how he wished, or woe to me, ya laytani kuntu turaba, that I was only dust. Because it will be brought on the Day of Judgment, and justice will be extracted from every created thing. So much so that there will be like a goat, one would have the horns and the other wouldn't. And in the dunya, the one with the big horns had harmed the other one. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them. And the one that didn't have the horns will be allowed to strike back at the one who oppressed him. And these are just animals, and then they'll be turned to dust. The reward is back, the justice has been served, and then they're turned to dust. The kafir says, if only that my punishment was that light. Ya laytani kuntu turama. If only I could just be dust. And I was never born. وَيْقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. And so the choice is up to the person now. In the verse, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. And it's a very serious choice that a person has to take, either to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put aside the excuses and put aside the institutions and the people and the places that are distracting them from following the truth, and take a path back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like we mentioned about hellfire, hellfire is not a choice for a person to take. Basically, this is the path that they take. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.